you will, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. Most of you know I've been here for a few weeks. And my thoughts through the week was, I need to come up with a homecoming message. And as I've told y'all before, I have problems with special time messages. But I think this one is a special time message. Hopefully every Sunday is a special time message that the Lord gives to us. But we're continuing to look at keys of the kingdom. And I realize that I repeat myself a lot, and I think it does bear repeating, that as we think about this, that the kingdom of heaven is what's under consideration, the kingdom of God. Depending on which writer you follow, it's the same thing. If you'll notice, as you go through the four accounts of the gospel, I'm just this off the top of my head. Matthew may say in a particular setting, this is the kingdom of heaven. And Luke may say, this is the kingdom of God. And I may have that reversed. But anyway, if they're in the same setting, it's the same time frame, we're talking about the same thing that has taken place. So the kingdom of heaven is what's under consideration when I talk about the keys to the kingdom. That's what was under consideration when Jesus said to Peter that the church was to be built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. But he would give to Peter, and Peter is now giving to us the keys to the kingdom. The keys by which that we can unlock the door and enter into the very presence of Jesus Christ. Now, again, to repeat myself, to get every mind going in the same direction, what is the kingdom of heaven? Is it something that we have to wait for? Is it something that is beyond this life, beyond this world? Well, there is an eternal kingdom. But understand, there's a kingdom of heaven on earth right now. And Jesus Christ is reigning and ruling and is triumphant in His kingdom right now. Paul tells us that the kingdom of heaven, in Romans 14 and verse 17, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. And in another place, Paul said that Christ is in us. So therefore, if Christ is in us, He is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. There's a song that I really enjoy, but part of it talks about when getting to heaven and Christ is crowned as King. Listen, He's already King. He's already in control. He's already King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And you know, I'll get into this for just a moment, the current events of this past week concerning Queen Elizabeth passing. I didn't know that much about her, but what I'm reading tells me that she was a very devout Christian woman. She loved Jesus. She loved the Lord and was vocal about it. And it's to my shame that I didn't know that before this week. So you think about, He is King of kings. Can I also say He is King of queens? And she acknowledged that Jesus is her King. And certainly now she is rejoicing in His presence for all eternity. So He is now King. He's now reigning and He's now ruling. He is now in control. And you might say, well, look around you. How can you say that God is in control with all the turmoil and all the confusion that's going on? I don't pretend to know the mind of God. I don't pretend to know the purpose of God concerning current events that are taking place. But I'm going to tell you, based upon the Word of God, that it doesn't matter what's going on out there. It does matter, but as far as what I'm about to say, no matter what's going on out there, God's still on His throne. God is still reigning. God is still ruling. God is still in control. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that we can walk in the kingdom as Christ is reigning and ruling right now. So, He gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom. And we've been on this for several weeks now, and we've got a few more weeks to go on it. But this morning, I want us to read the first five verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to step down for just a moment. I've already been told twice this morning that I need to be brief. One was before I left the house, and the other one was I'm not going to call Matthew by name, but he's ready to eat. So let's eat from the master's table, and then we'll go enjoy the bountiful food that y'all have brought today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Keep that verse in your mind. Grace and peace be multiplied. It isn't just a little trickle of grace that comes from the throne of God. It isn't just a little trickle of peace that comes down. And our joy should be that same abundance that Sister Shayla talked about just a moment ago. The abundant life that Christ has given to us. He's given us life eternal, but He's also given us the abundant life right here, right now, for us to enjoy and walk in relationship with Him every single day. Now, I have to tell you, there have been times in my life that I could not tell you that I was walking in fellowship with Christ. There have been times in my life that I was walking in fellowship with the world. But you know what? When I was walking in fellowship with the world, I had no peace. I had no joy. There was nothing about the things out there that satisfied the longing that was in my soul. But walking with Jesus Christ, though it's, for me it's an imperfect walk, walking with the perfect Lord, but my imperfect walk with Him gives me peace, and it gives me joy, and it gives me grace to know that I can face every single day through the power of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that last week concerning the virtue. Okay, so grace and peace be multiplied. And again, what better time to share your news this morning, Sister Shayla? Your family is about to be multiplied. I'm not good at math. Sister Angie, you can figure that one out for me. It's about to be multiplied. And there will be struggles. And I didn't mean to turn this into a message just to y'all, but there will be so much joy that comes along with it. So it's multiplied. Whatever our situation, whatever our circumstance is, walking with Christ, there is peace, there is joy, there is comfort that you cannot find anywhere else. It's just not to be found anywhere else. According as His divine power has given unto us, we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, we didn't do anything to merit it, but His grace has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. All things. Every breath that I take, every beat of my heart, every good thought that goes through my mind, anything that is good about this individual right here, it is because God has given it. Not because that I came up with it on my own. But not only unto life, but unto godliness. So when we come to the place that we feel that need and that desire within us, and we'll get to my text, I promise you, but when we feel that desire within us that we want to do better. Do you remember a time in your life that you said, I just want to do better than what I'm doing. There's got to be something better than what's going on right now. When we came to that place, it wasn't because we turned over a new leaf. It wasn't because we changed our habits. It wasn't because we did this or we did that. It's because God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. If anyone can see Christ in us, where did that come from? And I've already said that He's in us. Every blood-bought, spirit-born child of God has Christ in them. It becomes because that He has given unto us these things. These great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning as we look at this seventh key to the kingdom, which is knowledge. Knowledge. And I pray that I'll be able to rightly divide this word of truth concerning this. If you'll notice in the five verses that I read, in verse 3, toward the end of that, that He's given unto us through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That word knowledge is used there. And then you go down two more verses, and then Peter says, add to your faith virtue, which is that strength of Christ that is within us, and add to your virtue, he said it again, knowledge. Most of you know, I get hooked up on word meanings. And so I'm thinking, why did he say knowledge and then add knowledge? Well, I've learned that by the time we get to the age that we really know it all, it's time to go home to be with the Lord. We're always learning, right? But now that's not what Peter's talking about. He's talking about two different applications of the word knowledge. I say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't know. I guess I'm still learning. So I must be learning some new tricks as I go along, even though I'm an old dog. So he says, I want you to add. I want you to add to this, add to this, add to this. Here's the next key. Because when you add this key, you take that next step further into the kingdom. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm doing it for a purpose because some of you haven't heard the first six messages on this. But I believe that, I have to explain myself. I do not believe that there are degrees in heaven. I don't believe that there'll be anybody wearing more stars in their crown than somebody else because they did more good deeds. In fact, I don't think there's going to be anybody walking around heaven with a crown on their head. If you read at the end of Revelation chapter 4, tells us what, if there are any literal crowns, what we're going to do with those crowns. We're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus. But as we think about this, as we think about this kingdom and what God has given to us concerning this, these steps are given whereby that we can go closer and closer and closer to the Lord. Have you ever been at a place in life where you just knew that Jesus was walking with you? You could feel His presence. It was overpowering. It was overwhelming. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as He was with you at that moment. Well, then, have you ever had other experiences where that your knowledge says, the Bible tells me that I'm never alone. The Bible tells me that Jesus will never turn and walk away from me. And I'm going to be just as human as not as human as I can be, but as human as I can be from right here. There are times that I have to say, Lord, I know You promised it. And I know You're here. Lord, I need to feel You closer. Can I tell you, that's a key to the kingdom, that humility of saying, I need You, Lord. And when we can humble ourselves, He says, come on in. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. You see, to experience the blessings of the kingdom, these doors must be unlocked. And sometimes it happens like that. And sometimes it's a struggle. But He says, I want you to take that which I've given to you and use this to come a little bit closer to Me. The first word, knowledge, in verse 3, that word means to recognize. And again, I'm going to use, I don't mean to use anybody's hard times as an explanation, but it's the only thing that I can use right now. I understand. I'll go back even to 1962 or 3. Which year was it when President Kennedy was assassinated? 63. Every one of us that were living at the time had knowledge of him. And that word knowledge means to recognize. To this day, you put up a picture, even of the days when he was in the Navy. I said, that's John Kennedy. But I didn't know him. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. The second word, knowledge, in verse 5, takes us from being able to recognize somebody to having, and I'm going to use this so much today, a working relationship with them. England, Great Britain, is in mourning today. But most of them that were are mourning, they could recognize the Queen. But I dare say, with all of those soldiers with the big caps on, you try to get close to her and they say, no. You know, there were some that tried to keep people away from Jesus too. Remember the man Bartimaeus who was blind by the roadside, and he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And some of the soldiers of Jesus went over there, and some of the disciples. He's busy, you can't bother him. But Jesus stood still. There is a point of recognizing and saying, oh yeah, I know who that is. Since coming back to Thomaston, and especially somebody that lives away from Thomaston that has connections to Thomaston, they'll ask me, do you know so-and-so? And sometimes I'll say, well, I've heard the name, but I don't really know them. Or, no, I've never met them before. But then sometimes it clicks. Oh, yes, I know exactly who you're talking about. Know them well. This is what the design of the kingdom is for us as we walk through this life, is that you and I would know Jesus well. That's an oversimplification of it, but that's exactly, the kingdom is not just something that is there, it's something for us to use in our everyday life to get through the struggles that we have. And Jesus' design for us is that we not only would recognize Him. I'm on a little soapbox here. Those pictures that we see hanging on the wall sometimes, that's not Jesus. Nobody knows what Jesus looked like. But we recognize Him how? From His Word. You can go into the Old Testament and you can read certain things and you say, wow, that's Jesus. There's passages in the book of Isaiah, especially long about chapter 50, where that Isaiah is writing, and I've said before, those words could be in red as far as I'm concerned, because that's Jesus speaking. I recognize those words. David wrote words that could be in red because that was Jesus speaking. One of them is Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, if I hadn't told you where I just quoted that, where would you have said that those words were spoken? On the cross. Jesus spoke them. As the Father turned His face away. So there's a difference between recognizing, yes, I know those were the words of Jesus, and knowing. And that's what I hope to be able to be able to share with you this morning. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, you can just jot it down because I really am going to try to be a little bit, it's almost too late for that, but My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many times have you heard that quoted? I know I've seen heads shaking. Some of you recognize it. Most of you, all of you recognize it. Where have you heard it from? The Bible. You recognize it. I recognize it whenever I started thinking about this subject of knowledge. And it was one of the first thoughts that come to my mind because I recognize it's got the word knowledge in it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So this morning, as I was sitting there trying to study, here goes my way of study again. What does that word destroyed mean? What does it mean that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Well, it means to perish. Okay? Can any of God's people that were have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, can any of God's people perish eternally? Please say no. None, not one, will perish eternally that have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So what does he say here? My people are destroyed. My people are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. So I say, okay, what does destroyed means perish? What does perish mean? I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. Biblical setting of the word perish. And it means undone. How many times have you heard that? I am so undone. I think I've probably said it before. But you know, until this morning, I didn't know what it meant. To say I'm undone, I am undone for lack of knowledge. Please bear with me on this, because I promise you it means something. There have been times that I'm still heavy now, but in my heavier days, my stomach might undo a button. Men, y'all have never experienced, some of you I know have never experienced that. But some of us have experienced that. And I reached down and Judy said, your button's undone. So what was she saying? It's unfastened. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are perishing for lack of knowledge. My people are undone for lack of knowledge. My people are not fastened for lack of knowledge. Would you agree with me today that for a large facet of the United States of America today, that many of God's people are not fastened to Him? We're fastened to the things of the world. We're fastened to people. We're fastened to money. We're fastened to our own objectives. But in becoming fastened to those things, we become unfastened to the One who means all the difference in the world. And God says, my people are unfastened because there is a lack of knowledge concerning Him. And He's talking about Israel there. And for Israel, there were times when they truly, and they used that word knowledge to be able to recognize. You might say, well, how in the world could that be? Have you ever read in the Old Testament where that they bowed their knees to the idols of Baal? Have you ever read in the paper? You won't read it in the paper. Have you read it in the Bible where that they brought in idols of other nations and set them up in their city? Listen, when they did that, they were unfastened from God. And they suffered as a result of that. In fact, the next verse says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. That frightens me for the United States of America. It frightens me for me. When I become unfastened from God and become fastened to things, He says, I'll bring their glory to shame. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They didn't recognize Him, but then also there was no working relationship with Him. Their working relationship was with what man had made with their own hands. It's not much of a homecoming message yet, is it? I'm just going to get there, I promise you. To the contrary of that, in the New Testament, when Paul wrote to most of the churches that he wrote to, if not all of them, he wrote to them concerning his prayer for them was that they would grow, that they would be increased in knowledge, that they would increase in their experience, increase in their daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is in that daily walk that we experience those blessings of joy. And you can jot this down too. I'm not going to go there this morning, but Colossians 1, 9 and 10, he says, my desire is that you would be filled with knowledge of His will. So that goes beyond just recognizing, well, we are a church of Jesus Christ, to saying, I want His will in my life. I want His working in my life. I want His full control over my life. And when that happens, when He has full control over us, there is that peace that overflows. There's that joy that overwhelms. So Peter's saying this next key is that you would grow in that understanding. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah. First is a scripture, again, until this morning, I've used them many times, but I used them to recognize them. And this morning, as I was sitting there in the quietness of the room, and I was reading this verse of scripture and trying to put it in context, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, trying to put it in context with the key of knowledge, it began to make even more sense to me. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know what I have in store for you. I know what is laid up. We sing that song, "I don't know about tomorrow," but He does. And He's already there. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I recognize that verse of Scripture. I know it's in Jeremiah 29. If you ask me Thursday, I might say Jeremiah 29, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere along in through there. But this morning, He took me deeper into this verse. He took me to a place where that I can take the keys as Peter has laid them out for us and apply it. First of all, He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." That tells me He's talking to His children, right? He's not talking to just anybody that walks by. This is a pointed message to every one of us this morning. God says, "I know what I'm thinking and what I have planned for your life." If God has it planned, why does my life get messed up? Could it be that I walked outside of His plan? Remember, Paul says, "I'm praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will." So if I'm filled with the knowledge of His will, then I'm filled with understanding that He's got a plan for me. He's set a course for my life. It's a very personal message, and it is that working relationship as we go deeper into that verse of Scripture that as we think about this, we can say, okay, I recognize that's God speaking. First of all, He says that He's speaking. So I have that knowledge, but He's now given me faith whereby I can take the knowledge that that's God speaking. And though He spoke those words some 2,800 years ago, He's saying them to me today. He's saying them to you today. God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." And if you read that verse with that understanding, then you know God's speaking to you at this moment. And it isn't Steve speaking, it's the Lord. So by faith we embrace this verse of Scripture. I'm going to use a word that I don't use very often. I'm going to claim that verse of Scripture. I'm going to claim it that God is speaking to me. And God is saying, "Steve, I know. And I know what I'm doing. And I know where I'm taking you. And I know what's going to happen when you get there. So just get out of the way." What does the world say? Lead, follow, or get out of the way? Well, I don't want to lead God, so I'm going to leave that part off of it. I want to follow Him. I want to follow Him. I want to be in His will. Lord, please show me. Show me the way. Show me what you have for me. I know the thoughts, He says. I know what I'm doing. I've got it planned out. Now, I know this word creates a lot of turmoil with a lot of circles in Christianity. The word predestination, God says, "I've got it planned out. I've got the end declared and determined already." And that end isn't just applying to heaven. It's applying to the kingdom of heaven right here in this life. If we'll just follow Him. He says, I know where I'm taking you. So quit resisting. Quit trying to think you've got a better way. Quit thinking that you have to help God. Listen, God doesn't need my help for anything. He's not God if He needs my help, quite honestly. He doesn't need my help. He said, I know what I'm doing. But Lord, it hurts. And these are my words now. I've never heard this from Jesus. But my thoughts are, He would say, what about the nails? What about the scourge on my back? You think that felt good? Think I enjoyed that? Yet He endured it. He endured it for me. And He says, now I know. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says, He endured the cross looking to the joy that was set before Him. Sometimes we have to go through the struggle to get where God has in store for us. Every one of us, without exception, every single one of us had to struggle to come into this world. Just think about that. We all had to struggle to be born a natural life. Our new birth was due to the struggle of Jesus Christ and the work of Christ on the cross. It was given to us. But listen, to be a partaker of His divine nature, I don't know about you, I think I do. I'll say it though, I don't know about you, but for me it's a struggle. It's a struggle to deny myself. It's a struggle to deny what I want. It's a struggle to deny my plans when I know that God is leading in a direction that's different from what my plans are. It's a struggle. But the more that we follow this verse of Scripture, it goes from just recognizing God is saying that to embracing that He's saying it to me and to experiencing the peace that He's promised in that verse of Scripture. And that peace comes whenever I just take my hands off of it and say, Your will be done. Your will be done. And every time that has happened, every time that I have said, not my will, but Thine be done, there has been a peace that came over me that I could not explain. And as I see God unfolding, things that I didn't know what was going to happen, all of a sudden there's a surprise that you weren't expecting. But God had it in store for you. All it required was you to just submit to His will. Again, I hope I've made myself clear at the very beginning. I'm not talking about getting to heaven. I'm talking about entering into this place of peace and joy that we experience right here in this life, in this earth, as we walk with Him. You say, well, how can I know that that applies to me? Go, and may I have to turn one page over. Chapter 31, verse 3. Another verse. I'm going to close with this one. I've got more, but I'm going to close with this one. Chapter 31 and verse 3. How can I know that 29:11 is talking to me? The Lord hath appeared of old unto you. That's not what it says. Though it may apply to you, it does apply to you. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. It's a very special one-to-one message that the Lord gives to us. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Can I tell you, there has never been a time when God did not love you. There's never been a time when God stopped loving you. And there will never be a time when He stops loving you. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. I've always loved you. But Lord, I've not always been lovable. I've always loved you. Lord, don't you remember? I've always loved you. But I've always loved you. Prodigal son coming home. Here's your homecoming. He came home Father, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. And he was going to say, make me as one of your hired servants. And the father stopped it. No, sir, you are not going to be one of my hired servants. You are my son. You see, there may be things in our lives that we consider to be a block, that we think, how could God possibly love beyond that, or over that, or through that, or around that? He said, I loved you before, I love you after, I love you now. I've always loved you. Therefore, because I love you, with loving kindness have I drawn you unto myself. I've drawn you unto myself because I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Give you an expected end. This is the key to the kingdom of heaven that we talk about today. Just submitting and walking with Him. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? And yet, that's what He says. You had the other keys. Just believe it. Use the strength that I've given you to do it. And just have that everyday walking, working, talking, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. But it only comes by walking with them. Even when we came back 2 years ago, I would look out in the congregation, especially that first Sunday, and there were faces that I knew. I didn't have to be told. I knew you from 30-something years ago. And then I looked out and there were new faces. And quite honestly, there were faces that I didn't recognize. But you know what? Through a walking, working, talking relationship, I can look at every one of you here this morning, and I'm hesitant to do that, but I'm trying my best to look at every one of you. I can say to you today, I love you. I love you. I couldn't say that back then because I didn't know you. But through walking and talking and sharing and loving, the relationship grows. And the kingdom of heaven ultimately is that relationship with our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Relationship with Jesus Christ. So I end today, I conclude today by saying, maybe it's time that I need to come home. I'm not talking about a physical, geographical location now. I'm talking about home in my heart. Home to where that I'm walking with Jesus. Maybe I've made a wrong turn. Maybe I've made a wrong decision. Maybe I've made a wrong choice. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm just standing there and thinking, which way am I going to go? Can I say this is the day? Because Jesus, through the Word of God, says He knows where you are. He knows what's going on. He knows what you need to do. He's leading you there. My prayer is that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will, and then walk in His will.